Welcome. You are about to take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Bouffet on the Love by Intuition show. For the next hour, allow her to prepare you in becoming a magnet for a profound love-infused relationship by identifying and focusing on solutions through love. Awaken the light within and let your essence shine. And now, here's Deborah Bouffet on Love by Intuition, all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Welcome, everyone. Bonjour, mes amis. And yes, here I am, as I always say. I'm founder and owner of syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. We have all the bells and whistles. You can listen to us anywhere you are in the world, and including your car, as well as asking Alexa, you know, to play. And we lost track of how many syndications we have and how many podcast directories we're on. I think it's somewhere in the 50 mark. So it does prove that you can expand and evolve and all those good things. And check us out, because there are some amazing, incredible new hosts that have joined the rest of the incredible hosts. So their shows, check each one of them out. And you can listen on demand as well if you'd like to pick and choose when to listen. But it's Dream Visions, all one word with an S on the end, the number 7radio.com. And we are proud to be the media partner for the Omega Institute, and they are on pace for opening up their retreat center, which is gorgeous, come August. So stay tuned for that and keep track of what we're doing. So I invited singer, songwriter, author, as well as certified coach and founder of the Story Method, Carrie Rowan. We really had a great time, and we had so much to share and discuss. And so I really wanted to grace our airwaves with her wisdom. So welcome back to the show, Carrie.
Thank you so much, Deborah. It's so exciting to be here.
Yes, and we have two tracks, song tracks that we will play when we go out to the breaks, and we'll be discussing, you know, what inspired or what tickled or however it happens when you wrote those songs. So let's first get into, with your coaching, you're teaching people how to really pay attention to their thoughts and their intuition. And one of the things that we all do, and as you know, and you say it in the book, that we're geared to think negatively. And the book is, by the way, Tell a New Story. So check that out. So because we're geared to the negativity, and I remember telling stories and would embellish a little bit back in the day, why do we tend to go in that direction?
Well, that's a great question. You know, it's really all about our wiring, right? I mean, our brains are designed to keep us safe. And so they're always looking at that end goal, trying to keep us safe. So by focusing on the negative, it's trying to prevent something negative that happened in the past. And so it's looking for what else is going to go wrong, you know, sort of the proverbial when the other shoe drops, right? So it's always looking for something to go wrong so that we can be prepared, so that we can prevent ourselves from feeling that pain, especially if it's associated with something that's happened to us before in the past that was traumatic. So the brain, I just like to think of it, it's just so beautifully doing its job, right? It's just beautifully predispositioned to look for this as a negativity bias. And they've done scientific studies that show that negative information coming in has a much more, a larger neuroprocessing in the brain than positive, and as sad as it's true. So we have to work extra hard, really, to try to get our brain to rewire, if you will. You know, it's like we've got an old piece of software, and we don't keep anything old in this day and age, right, Deborah? Like our phones get like a minute old, and my teenagers are throwing them out. So, but yet we have this old software in our brains that we just keep dragging around with us. And literally it does. It holds us down. It drags us down. So we've got to get out ahead of that and get smarter than that brain to start retraining it. you know, with some of the things that we talked about, meditation and gratitude, and there's a lot of great things that you can really do to kind of sidestep that negativity bias, if you will.
Yes. And so when we become more conscious, and a lot of that is because of meditation, and I know you really empower people to meditate, but that a lot of that, or the main piece of meditation is, that's when we wake up to a higher purpose of why we're here. Do you feel that, you know, someone can become conscious and live from that place without going within and doing the hard work to find the truth of who they are?
I think you need that time. I think you need that quiet time. If we don't ever give our minds and our bodies that space, I think it's virtually impossible to get there, because you're not tapping into who you really are. You know, I mean, people have different methods of getting there, or different versions of meditation, what one person calls meditation. You know, it might just be sitting quietly for somebody else. So I think there's a lot of ways to accomplish that, but I think that's the goal, right? The goal is to get in and to quiet that crazy monkey mind so that we can have that calm, so that we can remember who we really are. So like you said, we can remember why we came here, what our higher purpose is, and creating that space inside is what gives that to us. It gives us that chance to then, when we come out of the meditation, bring that consciousness to our regular life, right? Practice, like as you would say in yoga, off the mat. So we practice off our meditation cushion. And that gives us the space to choose, because we always have these intentions of who we want to be. And when we can match those with our actions, and meditation helps us do that by clearing away the clutter, giving us that breathing room, remind us of who we really are, allowing us to tap into that consciousness so that we can bring it to our day-to-day life and we can make conscious choices in the moment. And I feel like that's the beautiful part of it. That's what makes it not hard work, because once you start doing that, it becomes second nature, because you've already given yourself that space and you just carry that beautiful peace along with you in your life. It becomes easier to make the choices to be the person that you intend to be.
Right. Do you feel that we can do a meditation of sorts when we're walking in nature? Say that we're not sitting and quieting our minds, but we are just being with nature and the bugs and birds and all of that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's one of my favorite things to do. You know, because a lot of people get hung up on the word, you know, meditation. They've got, you know, maybe a negative connotation, or they don't think they're any good at it, or... So, of course, that brings us right back to our core. I don't care how you get there. You know, you could do it 5 different ways during a day, and including walking outside and just listening to everything around you is a very mindful, you know, pleasant thing to do, and can tie you immediately into that consciousness and remind you of who you really are. So I always tell people, whatever really resonates with you. And I like variety. So on a particular day, I might feel the urge to do it in a lot of different ways to get myself in that center. So it really depends on the person and what really works for them.
Like, what else would you be, like, a substitute for actually sitting quietly in a room with, you know, that has no interruptions whatsoever, other than nature? Because if you think about it, I mean, that may be a tool for someone that is mainstream and haven't really thought about going within to go out in nature, and maybe they'll get a spark. But it almost seems like one would have to be conscious of a higher purpose before they go outside. You know where I'm going with this. so that they could grasp all that it could be. Right. Yeah, because, go right ahead.
No, I was going to say, it's kind of like the chicken and the egg, right? Like, which came first? Like, you decide to do it, you're going to get the feeling. Like, I feel like, you know, we're just naturally going back to who we are. You know, and I personally believe so strongly in meditation, because I feel like it is just quieting the mind. It doesn't have to be anything official. It's just quieting the mind is what it does. And when we get into that place, then we can become aware of that consciousness, right? When you get a little flavor of it, which is kind of what you're saying, that you could accidentally kind of get a flavor of it, which is absolutely possible, and you like that so much, you're just going to keep going back to that place, because that is really who we are. That is the only time that we're in that peaceful place, when we're feeling the quiet of the mind, when you're giving that mind a second to just go down deeper into that subconscious where there's no noise, where that mind just naturally stops. And, you know, I think that some people can get there by walking through a forest. I think somebody could get there in the moment that they're writing a song. They're so deeply connected to whatever that source is that you want to call it, when they're in that right. mode of creativity, right? Or somebody could be painting a beautiful picture. So all these things are meditative in their own right without officially being meditation. But do I think that, you know, you need to have the intention? Absolutely. If your intention is to get there whatever way you can, and you have that intention, then I think that you're going to get there.
Right. That, I agree. That word intention is so key to many things in our lives. So now, as far as telling a new story, explain exactly what you mean by that.
Sure. Well, the book, Tell a New Story, it's 5 simple steps to release your negative stories and bring joy to your life. So it's all about figuring out, hey, you know, what are these stories that I'm telling? What are these stories all about anyways? You know, because our stories, when you start to dig into them, tell us so much about who we are, what our experiences have been, what emotional scale, you know, if I think about the emotional scale, what emotions do we normally hang out? What are our habitual emotions? Because all that is reflected in our stories, right? I might be in a bad mood one day and tell a particular story, and then be in a great mood the next day and tell that same, a version of that story, but from a different state of mind, right? So all these yeah. things determine the stories that we tell, right? It's amazing how our stories can kind of change and morph over time, depending on, you know, who we are in that moment. Because when that story happened, maybe it happened 10 years ago. And, you know, studies, it's amazing to me because scientific studies even show now that our stories over time are really only about 50% accurate. Is that crazy when you think about the factual pieces of the story?
I know,
so,
but it's true.
You know, it's crazy. You know, if you've ever had a sibling and you'll compare a story about something that happened when you're growing up and you were both there at the exact same event, and then perspective comes in and somebody sees the story this way and I see it a completely different way. So it's amazing how those stories can really, really tell a lot about us. But when we start looking at our own stories and the way we tell them and why we tell them and the intentions hidden behind those stories and the outcome, our goal of why we're telling that story in the first place, you start to open up this world about yourself, and you start to understand how some of your stories are so disempowering, but yet you keep telling them. It's almost like we're addicted to telling these stories and having these negative emotions. And once you start digging into that, it's kind of like the meditation example. You know, once you start getting a flavor of, whoa, I didn't even realize I was doing that, you start catching yourself in these stories, and it's almost like they start rewriting themselves, which is why I love this work so much. Once you teach somebody how to get in there, you know, and look at that, it's magical what can happen.
It is. I love when that happens, when you really are listening to yourself and you realize not only what you're saying, but you're also paying attention to what you're feeling. And
yeah.
And that is so key. If you're, you know, for what you're saying, if it's elevating how you feel, or if it's bringing you in a different direction, and certainly if there's something, you know, grief or something horrendous that has happened, don't you think that part of the healing at the beginning is being able to share with other people so that you can get through the process of, you know, through the process of becoming mm-hmm. peace with mm-hmm. it? How do you feel?
Sure.
And we're going to talk about that a little later, because you have experienced, and from the earlier show, and I should mention, Carrie's last name is WORAN, so Carrie, CARRIE. Just Google it when you go on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, and you can bring up the first show and listen to that as well. And I think it would be fun to listen to that and then listen to this one too afterwards. Go right ahead, Carrie.
So you're saying that I do believe that part of healing in the beginning is to share some of the stories. Absolutely. I think it's part of the process. You want to talk about it. If you're talking in terms, you mentioned grief. But I think what happens to us as humans is we hang on to these stories for a really long
yes.
time. And we hang, right? And we hang on to the respective emotions that they evoked at the time. And that's where we get into trouble, right? We hang on to them. We're dragging them around with us. And then those stories sort of become like a clutch. You know, when we start realizing that they're no longer supporting us is when they're a problem. When, like you mm-hmm. mentioned earlier, if I continue to tell the story and every time it comes up, I feel it coming up and it makes me feel worse than before I told it. Well, that's the story you want to take a look at. That's the story you want to isolate and say, hey, why am I telling this story? What is the purpose? And I always tell people to be compassionate with themselves as they start to uncover these stories, because it's easy to start to judge your own stories and say, oh, well, why was I doing that? That wasn't, you know, supportive of me. And so I always tell people that our stories usually have a noble cause, right? There's usually a great reason behind why we were telling it. So when you can figure out what that is, you can solve the problem of why you're telling that story in the first place and replace it with something that supports you. Replace it with something that's loving to yourself.
Right. Yeah. But I think that the key is about feeling and paying attention to your feelings, and you can tap into your intuitive abilities and see what exactly that you're saying is bothersome. Because you talk about the intuitive skills as well. How would you say to use the intuitive to help that person rewrite a different story or let go of the story altogether?
Yeah, well, that's a great point, because in the book I talk about the three R's of your story, right? Reduce, reuse, recycle, just like the three R's in recycling. Because I
yes.
love it, because it just is so appropriate for your stories, because you have to pick up each one of them and take a look at it and ask yourself. And, you know, considering everything that I teach and how you look at the stories and you understand what your beliefs are behind them. And you also want to use your personal intuition, like you just said, because, you know, you might have a story that you're going to say, you know, this just really doesn't serve me. But there are pieces of the story that are great. So, you know, I could share those pieces where I could uplift other people with, you know, the power and the strength that came out of the story without all the other baggage that comes along with it. So you could rewrite that story. Or maybe the whole thing just needs to be set aside or tossed into the recycling bin. And that's where your intuition comes into play. You know, I can't tell somebody, oh, that's a horrible story, throw it away. I would never say that. Somebody needs to come to their own conclusions. They need to ask themselves and be asking better questions, because, as you know, when you ask better questions, you get a better answer. Your intuition gets a chance to kick in and warm up, and that's how you can come up with solutions. When you get yourself in that place of being open to that. And you're opening your heart as well to your stories and your compassion for yourself for telling the stories.
Right. If we all lived from our hearts, imagine the world. Yeah, that would be something. Mm-hmm. Yes, well, we're coming up on a break, and I would like everyone to know that Bob is in the house. This is a live show, and you can call in. Our toll-free number is 833-220-1200. Again, 833-220-1200. If you have a question for myself or have a thought or a question for Carrie, please do call in. And we're going to be going out to this break with a song that Carrie has written. Its name is She's Getting There. And so, Bob, if you'd like to play that, and when we come back, we'll talk more with Carrie as to where that song and where did it come from.
Weight of her loss gaining. Experience a different yet profound healing with Reconnective Healing. Includes yet expands beyond any and all known forms of energy healing. The Reconnective Healing Spectrum is comprised of the full healing and evolutionary continuum of energy, light, and information. It allows for healings that are not just physical, not just mental, not just emotional, yet go beyond that to bring healing that includes the evolution of your very being and essence. Deborah Beauvais, trained and certified by world-renowned Dr. Eric Pearl, offers appointment hours at Seekonk Family Chiropractic in Seekonk, Massachusetts. For questions or to set up both distance or local sessions, call Deborah at 508-431-1959. Again, 508-431-1959. Or go to lovebyintuition.com. That's lovebyintuition.com.
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Beauvais on the Love by Intuition show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. Eastern. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, and to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Come join us and step into this glorious vibration called love.
After narrowly surviving the attack on Sandy Hook Elementary, first grade teacher Caitlin Royd-DeBellis was left searching for answers that would never come. Eventually, she chose to focus on questions that could be answered. How do I make sure this tragedy doesn't define us? How do we get our control back? Those two questions led her to found the 501c3 nonprofit organization Classes for Classes. When gifts poured into their classroom, she decided they would help someone else by paying it forward and being kind. This developed into a social network which allows K-8 classrooms to connect so that every student in the United States can learn these crucial lessons. Classes for Classes' mission is to build students' social-emotional intelligence by connecting them to care. All C4C projects are crowdfunded. Any teacher in the U.S. can visit classesforclasses.org. That's classes, the number 4, classes.org. Sign up today.
Delight your kids with an enchanting journey by reading the Paper Doll Kids children's book by Deborah Beauvais and Janine Sullivan. There's even a catchy tune, Kids for Love Song, produced by Bob Sherwood and sung by kids just like yours. The story weaves around 7 paper dolls flying around the world doing good deeds as they bring important attention to our endangered animal friends. There's even a magical ring with a universal message. Kids become interested in service projects, action through compassion, and planting seeds that nurture positive change. The Paper Doll Kids and Kids for Love Song are a production of the Kids for Love Project. Get the book now on Amazon Kindle and the song on CD Baby or iTunes.
Looking for a fun and relaxing getaway? Omega Rest and Rejuvenation Retreats are a great way to unwind and renew your spirit. You can stretch your body, quiet your mind, and do as much or as little as you choose. Join us in May and we'll waive the daily fees. Located in Rhinebeck, in New York's beautiful Hudson Valley, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org or call 877-944-2002. That's 877-944-2002.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we are back. And if you heard the Mother's Course offer, do check it out because May is Mother's Day, and it all ties into elevating us mothers, and it's really sacred activism to come together, and it's all online, and you can pick and choose when you'd like, but it really makes a huge difference in your life. And also, this month, we have our third annual Spring Extravaganza for hosts. It's a way of trying out hosting your own show. And you can learn all about that by going on our site and just clicking on the third annual Host Extravaganza. We are with Carrie Rowan. Her book is Tell a New Story. Her website is carrierowan.com, Carrie, C-A-R-R-I-E, Rowan, R-O-W-A-N. R-O-W-A-N, all one word. And she is an award-winning singer-songwriter, certified coach, author, all good things. And so going out to the break, we heard she's getting there. And I can feel the love and concern and everything that went into that song. So tell us what you were feeling and why you wrote the song.
Well, I think it's a beautiful segue because you were just talking about Mother's Day and
yes.
your mother program. And, of course, that song was written for my mother. And so it's a song that describes, you know, from the minutia detail of her crunching a piece of toast at the table and drinking her coffee, to the deep-seated feelings of loss that she's feeling after, you know, some things that had happened in my family that nobody, you know, wanted to happen. And so this song was a progression of she's getting there. You know, she's not there yet, but she's moving through this. She's going through the process. This is so hard. And I'm just so blown away by this woman and her ability to, you know, transcend these things that happened to her. She lost her firstborn and her husband within 18 months of each other, and it left a huge hole in not only her life, but of course her heart.
And then she ended up having a tumor, correct?
Yes. I won't give away the whole story because it's in the book, and it's a huge piece of the book because her story is so powerful. Because after all that, I tell the story of the story she told herself to get through that
yes.
crazy. She was diagnosed, right, with this crazy rare cancer out of nowhere. And as if life hadn't thrown her enough, she now had to deal with this. But the way she so beautifully and gracefully dealt with that is really beyond words. There's still a song to be written about that, I'm sure.
Yes.
So it's a beautiful thing, but it really exemplifies the whole chapter on the reframe, on when we can come up with a reframe for the stuff that life throws at us, you know, when we can come up with a reframe, a good reframe for our story to highlight the beauty of us and, you know, what we can do even in times of great duress when we remain open and we remain focused on love. And we take a look at what is working instead of all the things that went wrong. We can write a new story about that as well.
Right. And some people would just give up after all that and say, what is going on and what have I done to deserve this? I mean, those are normal thoughts and feelings. And I'm sure she had them in her own way. And yet she was positive and knew that she could get through it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, because, of course, all those things, I'm sure, ran through her mind. And it is very natural to feel that way. And so when you can come up with something, you know, that really helps you appreciate, you know, what she did have. She started focusing on her grandkids, these beautiful grandkids that my dad and her, all they ever wanted to do, my dad always wanted to just be a grandfather. And now she had this, you know, burgeoning of babies in my family all at once between me and my sisters. And so she turned her focus on that. She turned her focus on the love, the unconditional love that those beautiful little babies brought into this family, and just looked at, you know, what was working at the moment. What could I feel good about in this moment? Believe me, she went through all the stages of grief, but when you get to that point where you start looking around and you're like, wow, I'm still here. There must be a reason I'm still here.
Right,
and
that's, you know, that you just said a beautiful phrase, I'm still here, and you do come to that place where you realize that, and so what is my life about, or what can I do to make it more worthwhile, or, you know, you want to, I find that through adversity, you end up looking to find the peace and joy within at the same time of wanting to serve others. How do you feel about that?
Oh, I so resonate with that because, you know, to ease another's heartache is to ease one's own, right? And so
Yes.
You know, whatever, you know, I use the vehicle of music, you know, and to write that music, yeah, was I writing it for me? Yes, it was very cathartic, but I was also writing it to serve others. I was writing it to share those innermost feelings that I was feeling that only a song can describe, only a melody can really make you feel. And as a gift to other people to say, hey, you know, you're not alone. Look here, I feel this too. And when somebody can really, like you said, you felt all those feelings in that particular song. When somebody can resonate with that, it just makes us all know that we are one. We all really do feel the same thing. And we really are all there to support each other. And when you feel just a little less alone, it can make a huge difference in somebody's life.
Yes, our egos trick us into thinking that we're separate from everyone, and in essence, it's totally false. And I mean, it's so real how that ego can try to rise above everything. We were talking actually before the show how fascinating it is with your path, where you are coaching other people. You're teaching through the Tell a New Story forum. You're doing all these things, and then you're writing songs at the same time and singing with your, you know, incredible voice. So it's incredible and yet gentle, if that makes sense to me. At least that's how I feel it. And you just proved with the words you shared that this is definitely your path, because you are healing as you're writing and singing, and you're serving and helping people feel the words, feel everything. And so it makes sense that you're doing everything that you're doing. I mean, it's a puzzle that has fit perfectly together.
Right? And it's funny, though, because if you looked at all the disparate pieces, you might not think so, but it's really a culmination of all of my life's work, you know, and culminating into this book and my work now that I'm doing. It really, I've incorporated everything that I've done. My corporate days, you know, and everything and all the experience I gained there with my music and my writing and being an English and psychology major in college, I always knew I loved writing. And so it's really just a culmination of my whole being. And isn't that all what we seek to be whole?
Yes, and it's really a lesson to the listeners, whether it's today, next week, next year, whenever, because when you follow your path, you may stop at one point and feel as though, well, is this going to help me or serve me 10 years later? But it does. Everything that we choose to do, we learn from, and we can apply it to the new path that we choose. And it's, you can't really put your finger on it exactly how, but when you become conscious and living from that place and working from that place, you can actually think back and say, oh my gosh, I am using these skills that I learned 20 years ago, and it's working for me today, and it's all interconnected with everything else that I have done since I started on the earth.
it's so true, and this is who I really was as a kid. And, you know, we sort of, society kind of wrings that creativity out of us. But as a kid, I don't know why I did this, but I just naturally, and I tell the story in the book, I got all the other kids together in the neighborhood. My mom let us go over into the, you know, family room, and I taught them, you know, dance moves, and we're going to go put a production of Grease on down in the neighborhood. I don't know why I did that, but that's who I was as a kid. Anybody that would come to the house, grandparents, you name it, they were getting a show from me, whether they wanted it or not. So that is just what I did. I don't know why. You know, but then we sort of kind of grow out of that. And we're like, oh, society doesn't always accept that, you know, and so I'm going to go on and do this, you know. But all these things I did along the way. And then the piece about, you know, uplifting and inspiring other people has always been in me as a kid as well. And my mom will tell stories about how I used to leave little notes on my dad's mirror, because, you know, it was a long time ago when he used to smoke, and I would just you know, tell him all about smoking and he could quit smoking and you can do it and all these little things. I was so worried about him. And that's just who I
precious.
Was, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, you, in your way, in your precious way, you were helping him, and you were just doing it from an innocence of wanting to help.
Yeah, exactly, and inspire him. And he said to my mom one time, can you get her to stop leaving me those notes? And my mom goes, yeah, no, I can't. I'm not going to get her to stop putting those notes up there.
Yeah, and I bet he cherished those late in the later years. I bet he cherished those notes.
Yeah. Well, he stopped smoking, so it left work.
Yes, there you go. You know, I wanted to ask.
Go ahead. I was just going to say that I think sometimes we get lost and we really feel like we can't find our way and we don't know what our next step is. And, you know, I tell people, what did you used to do as a kid? What did you love to do as a kid? Because that is where your passions were. There are natural, unadulterated passions back then, right? You know,
right.
So if you can get people to tap back into that true center, then they can find out a lot about themselves and what they really do want to be doing, you know?
Exactly. And since you mentioned kids, tell us, so you have a kid's CD. So tell us about that, how it came to be and what the message is.
Yes, absolutely. Well, for many years, I was also like a family performer, and I was performing a lot of libraries and festivals for children, and I also was a music teacher at some local private schools. So, you know, I started doing it actually when my kids were little, and I was like, you know, hey, I bet I could do some kids' music, you know, keep the music thing going while I'm still a mom here with these kids. And I started with my daughter's preschool, and that's where I first, you know, kind of launched into that work. And then it just caught on like wildfire. I had all my biggest fans were 3 feet tall, you know. It was, hanging off my leg. It's some of the most joyful work in the whole world. They are absolutely, hands down, the most incredible audience you could ever ask for. They are so giving. They are so open. They're just wide open with their hearts. I just love that piece of it. And so, you know, working on that album just came out of that. I actually have two children's albums, and it was just an offshoot of my working with kids and then starting to write some kids' music and kind of taking my philosophies and making it kid-friendly, you know, like teaching them how to choose happy. And teaching them how to look at life a little bit different, teaching them to say, oh, well, is one of my songs. So, you know, just kind of taking my big girl stuff and putting it into the little kids' music as well in a format that was digestible for them. And there is nothing more joyful than that.
Yes. Are the CDs still available?
Oh, yes. On my website, I have I have my music on my website. Yes, I do have it up there. So if any, people can contact me there. And my children's CD, Let It Shine, is a beautiful CD that I created with a lovely friend of mine. And yeah, so it's there. And so it's so joyful working with kids. I do miss that. And all of my stuff just kind of fell away when COVID hit because, of course, I couldn't go out and play music for kids anymore or adults. So, you know, so that's what happened there. But it is truly, truly a joyful thing to be able to give back to the younger community and teach them the joy and love of music at a really young age.
Yes, yes. Well, that's going to... It's a great way of going out to our next song. And Bob, if you can just utilize 2 minutes, if you may, even though we're a little later than what I had planned. Your Hands is the next track that we're going to play.
No time to say goodbye.
a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Bovee on the Love by Intuition show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. Eastern. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, and to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Come join us and step into this glorious vibration called love.
Are you searching for a way to help create global change? Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's vision is to have an eclectic group of radio hosts dedicated to educating, enlightening, and helping humankind with positive messages and tools that enhance lives using different modalities and programs. If you would like to join our team and help illuminate the universe, call Deborah at 508-226-1723 or Deborah at dreamvision7radio.com.
Delight your kids with an enchanting journey by reading the Paper Doll Kids children's book by Deborah Bovee and Janine Sullivan. There's even a catchy tune, Kids for Love Song, produced by Bob Sherwood and sung by kids just like yours. The story weaves around seven paper dolls flying around the world doing good deeds as they bring important attention to our endangered animal friends. There's even a magical ring with a universal message. Kids become interested in service projects, action through compassion, and planting seeds that nurture positive change. The Paper Doll Kids and Kids for Love Song are a production of the Kids for Love Project. Get the book now on Amazon Kindle and the song on CD Baby or iTunes.
Why are we here? How can we be happy? Questions asked from millennials to boomers. Crappy to happy. Sacred stories of transformational joy answers them using true stories of grit, grace, and love. James Redfield, author of The Celestine Prophecy, wrote in the foreword, "This book is a seminar about emerging truths and offers grounded solutions through the art of the comeback." Dr. Bernie Siegel, a contributing author, wrote, "Bodies die, but spirits and consciousness survive and recycle." So, grab some tissues, open your book, and prepare to cry and laugh till it heals. Crappy to Happy by Reverend Ariel Patricia and Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis. Available from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and booksellers worldwide.
Motherhood is not easy. It's one of the hardest jobs in the world. Yet mothers receive so little support, even in spiritual communities where motherhood is often more valued.
What if you could always feel capable of handling the rigors and demands of being a mother in today's world?
What if you could let go of feeling like you're alone and don't have support?
What if you could let go of your fears that you're going to get it all wrong, make a mistake, or raise your child that repeats all the mistakes that you've experienced?
Experience the mothering movement and open your heart to mothering and being mothered in a way that allows acceptance, forgiveness, and vision for the future. Go to 1111mag.com and join the Mothering Movement course.
It's a child's job to play, to learn, and to have fun. It's an adult's job to keep them safe. Did you know that 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 6 boys will be sexually abused before the age of 18? Every day, families enter the Children's Advocacy Center because a child's courage to tell someone what happened to them. Keeping our children safe starts with a conversation. This is Michelle Aranger, Executive Director of the Children's Advocacy Center. Learn more on how to keep your child safe. Visit cacofbc.org. This message made possible by the Fall River Rotary Club.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we are back. Before the break, we were listening to a song that Carrie actually wrote and sang, called Your Hands. So Carrie, I'll leave it up to you to share how and where that came from. And I have to commend you to be able to write and sing that. And yet, I know from a deeper place, you had a very large healing by doing that.
Yeah, that song was super healing for me to write. And it's amazing because I wrote that song for my dad, and obviously it was from a true image that came into my mind every time I would think of him. His hands, I could just picture his beautiful hands in my mind and how they were gentle yet strong. You know, it always led me right back home, and they always directed me on my way, and they were always there to hold me lovingly and supportingly. And it just all, the song just all came together, and it's just one of those moments of pure inspiration where it just sort of, pours out of you. And, you know, that song has touched a lot of other people as well, because you can feel the emotion in that song, and you can hear in the words of what I'm, talking about losing somebody. And I think a lot of people can really relate, especially the father-daughter thing. And
yes. Yes, because the hands, I think, are universal, especially when it comes to a dad and a child, a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
holding the hand.
Have you heard from people through the years on how that touched them in their own way?
I absolutely have. And as a matter of fact, I have a good friend, and we connected through my music, where she heard me out playing one time at a botanical garden. And she didn't get to meet me, but she ran over and grabbed my CD and then connected with me later. And she was going through her own, loss of her husband. And she had children. And, years down the road after us becoming friends, I actually sang that song at her daughter's wedding in honor of her dad.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, because I just gave myself a chill. Because her daughters had adopted that song as the song for their dad as well. And nothing could have touched me more. And so it was hard to stand there and I just, and to play that song live for the group while they played the slideshow. But it was the absolute most beautiful, beautiful experience and one of the most beautiful weddings that honored their dad in so many lovely ways. And so I was so honored to be there and be part of that in one little small way. It was a beautiful, beautiful occasion.
Wow. That's all I could say is wow, when you think of exactly what you're sharing, and how it impacted them and yourself. Wow, yeah. Thank you for sharing that.
Oh, you're welcome. It's just, we laugh about it. It was like a God whisper, right? It's one of those moments of synchronicity. Like the chances of something drew her to me. She was out in a field with her daughter looking at flowers. They heard my voice. And they just drop what they do and look at each other and started running towards where the voice was coming from. I mean, it's just this incredible synchronous, this series of synchronistic events, and she just reached out to me,
Exactly. Exactly. It was meant to be. There are no coincidences for sure. So, there's other things I wanted to ask you. Well, because of what you've experienced that's in the book and even your first daughter, would you say that hope, and even for your mom, that hope is what was the glue that kept everyone together and moving forward?
Yes, I think hope is huge. It's a huge part of believing. You have to give somebody something to believe in, right? We've got to have something else to believe in. We've got to keep that hope. And then the love that was still there, like I could still, in a moment, feel my dad's love. The love is always still there. And, sometimes we get so bogged down with the stress and the anxiety, especially these days with everything going on around us, that we forget that there is so much to be hopeful for. There is so much to appreciate. There is so much that we can love in this world and love each other, because that's really what we're here for anyways, and to find those moments of pure joy and connect that with other people. I mean, isn't that really what we're here for?
Exactly. Exactly. I wanted to ask you how the pandemic has changed your life for the better. I know that you're you may not have been seeing the kids with the kids program that you created, and maybe not your clients face to face, but what is the gift that you feel as though you've received because of being closed in?
Well, for me, I launched my book. I never intended to launch my book during a worldwide pandemic. Who could have predicted that? But nonetheless, the timing could not have been more divine for me, because I feel like the world needed my message more than ever. And there I was mm-hmm. launching my book, you know, and then there I was, you know, with an idea from my publisher, hey, go do some Facebook Lives for people. Just share a little, you know, share something from the book. And so I came up with this idea that each week I would share a little nugget of wisdom and then give them a little energy medicine or a little mini meditation to use. And it just became mm-hmm. something that I did. It's just something to give back to people, something to help people, something to give people a little hope, like you were saying, you know, when people are stuck inside. So everything just sort of evolved off of that. It's just an incredible thing. So for me, I also, you know, see this time as precious time that I got to spend more time with my family and more time with my kids who were home, you know, and understanding more about what they're doing at school and how they learn and who they are and how they write and where they want to, you know, so all these things. It afforded us that time to be together and the time that I needed to put my book, my other baby, launch it out into the world, you know, and just watch where it goes and watch you know, who it touches.
Yes, and, you know, we're all really geared to think of all the loss that has happened with the pandemic, but there is, on the other side of the coin, there has been so much ingenuity that has surfaced, whether it's a small business, a large, or a personal business that had to reinvent mm-hmm. themselves, some of the restaurants reinventing other ways to bring the food or even create mm-hmm. ideas for, you know, for different things that they could do for the customers. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's always the yin and the yang, and there's always, you know, we can focus on the heaviness, and we've got to acknowledge, of course, and mm-hmm. feel for others. It's not about that, but to really think about all the goodness that has arrived because of being in lockdown.
That's true.
So tell us about, we only have a couple minutes left. Again, it goes by so quickly. what do you have happening on the business side? Will you be out there singing again? Are you doing webinars? What are you doing?
Well, that's a great question, and thanks for asking it. I hope to be out there singing again, and you know, my new thing now that I'm doing is that I have this masterclass that I've launched. I created a masterclass. It's based on the 5 steps of my book. And it's been the most surprisingly beautiful thing for me. It's not recorded. It's all live. So the first group of ladies that were in this class, it was just so magical. And the connections that happened between them, I mean, some of them will have a friendship forever from that class because they really went deep into the work. It just takes them down into their stories where I can also do one-on-one coaching, and also we can have breakouts and have, you know, accountability partners and really get into the work together. And there was so much transformation that happened there. It was truly remarkable. And so launching that masterclass was truly a gift to be able to have the time to do that. See, so isn't it funny the way that life cleared my plate for me so that I could work on my new work?
Yes. You know? And so now will, you know, after 5 classes, will you start it up again for others? Or can they join?
Yes. I'm on my second iteration, and now I'm launching another one. And that's going to launch on the 29th of May. It'll run for 5 weeks. Yep, it's very exciting, and the feedback I'm getting from people is really, it's truly moving. I mean, people are telling me this is life-changing for them because they're uncovering these stories they didn't even realize they had that were holding them back and making them feel bad about their life.
Mm-hmm. And so they can learn more or sign up by going to carrierowan.com, right?
Absolutely, and click on Masterclass up top, and you can read all about it. I've got a week-by-week description of everything that we do, and you can hear from not just me, but you can hear from people who've taken the course and what they think of it.
Good, good. So that's masterclass with you. That's so fun and so needed, and more so for people that have been in and not having the tools to do whatever happens when things bubble up because they've spent so much time alone. So that's wonderful. Well, I want to thank you again, Carrie, for coming on the show. It's been such a treat to have you back, and I'm just going to wish you all the blessings for the work you're doing and for your family, and I'm sure we'll be hearing from you again.
Thank you so much, Deborah. It's truly an honor. I love being part of what you do. It's a beautiful thing.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay. And for everyone out there, go to carrierowan.com and pass the show around and listen again and again and check out her masterclass and all that she's up to. And who knows, if you're singing somewhere locally, I'd love to come and meet you face to face. So everyone, think about the words and the sharings that we're doing and discussing in every show, because it's all designed to help you find joy and peace and just enjoy life, which is all we all want, is to feel loved, safe, and enjoy life. So until the next time we come together, au revoir.
Are you seeking a clearer path to love? Then tune in to the Love by Intuition show next week. All designed to your highest good. To contact Deborah Bouffet, owner of Empowered Connections, call her at 508-226-1723. That's 508-226-1723. Or link on to lovebyintuition.com. Remember, we are all one, and we are all part of the miracle of love.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.